Good morning, everybody.
Okay, is it? It's okay.
It's okay. Are you okay?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to 10 Down with Terry and David. Every time David drinks a coffee, it looks like he has lip liner on.
So, every time I have a cup of coffee, I'm either drinking it in a panic or...
Why are you drinking it in a panic?
Because it has to be quick.
Why?
Because you have to take a sup really quick.
A sup?
Yeah, like...
Sup?
Yeah, like a sup. And the other day, Terry decided to take it upon herself to make me a coffee. I showed you, and since then, you've never tried again.
No, why would I?
Why would you?
Yeah, because it's very complicated, and also... Sorry, that came out wrong. You don't need me to make you a coffee because you're constantly at the coffee machine.
Go through an excessive amount of coffee.
Yeah, it's like your ritual. Like you literally obsess over things. Have we known each other 13 years this year? Is it?
13 is more than that, no?
No. I think it's 13 years, yeah. And you definitely get like things into your head and then you just stick with them.
Obsess over them.
Yeah, and like coffee at the minute is definitely one of them.
Well, my new thing that I came across actually on TikTok, which I don't use, but I flicked onto it and came across, is that to make your coffee really taste better, you should be using the filter with boiling water. So you need to clean it with boiling water. In other words, when the coffee has been pushed out, it's already hot, like it's boiling hot.
Even Jake's falling asleep listening to this.
For any coffee connoisseurs out there or baristas, you'll understand that when the liquid's coming through, if the filter's cold, mm-hmm. it's cooling it down before it gets into your cup. So you need to have... So I use the boiling hot tap, clean it, and then put it straight into the machine, press it, and then it comes down.
So you're just getting into it. You know all the tricks.
Don't
and
mock
all
me. It's like you're mocking me with my bird sensation.
Go on, tell us about your bird sensation.
I'm dying to talk about this.
Oh my God, David.
It's number 10 on the list, but we're already on number 2, Terry, so we might as well
get into it.
Which, by the way, I can actually take my phone out now and show you 3 individual people, separate people, not fake pages, that sent me messages saying that they really love my bird pictures. And,
do they?
Yeah, and that you should be leaving me alone. Anyway, so quickly, the other day... You know what? You can log out if you want.
No,
you can
go
make yourself a cup of tea.
I'm happy for you that you have like little hobbies and...
It's not a hobby, Terry.
It is a hobby, Dave. You leave this house with wellies and a camera the size of your feckin' body.
Go on. I didn't know what way you were going to finish that. It's not a hobby. Okay?
What is it then?
It's not.
It's a hobby, David.
It's not a hobby.
Bird watching is your hobby. You leave the house and photograph birds. What do you call it? What do you want me to call it? Your fetish?
It's just something I like to do.
Go on, it's a hobby.
It's a hobby. Hobby, hobby.
Come on, hobby right. man.
Terry, you're putting me off. Right?
Tell us.
So, there's this particular bird that I've been chasing for a long time.
A red kite.
No. We have a lot of them. All right? We can go into that if you want, but we're not going to. Right? It's called a sparrowhawk, right? And... they're really, really rare and they're really hard to find because they're extremely fast and they blah, 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 blah. So the other day, I was feeding the baby. Sydney was watching a movie and I heard a thump at the door.
And the crows.
No, first I heard the thump and then Jake barked. He was asleep in here. He just went, you know, he goes, whoa. But he must have looked out and seen there was nothing. And I was like, right. And then I had the back door open and then I heard all the crows. You know what I mean? Like you had zoned out and then all of a sudden you're like, you hear this like racket. It's like, what the hell's going on? All the crows are like going bananas. And I went, oh, the front door. I better go check. Maybe a bird flew into the, like a baby bird flew into the door or the window. And lo and behold, there is the sparrowhawk that's knocked on the door and said, I've brought me to you. So now you don't need to go out in your wellies and your big massive camera. You can now take a picture of me from here. So I did.
And he had his claw on a bird's neck.
Yeah, but do you know that so many people, I posted that actually onto my onto the Facebook page where people all comment, like that has thousands of followers that you rip into me over. Yeah?
Yeah.
The amount of people, of course, that got offended by that picture.
And they said, why didn't you help?
Yeah, why didn't you help? This is horrific. Why would you post this? You know, on and on. And the amount of people that were like, this is called nature. If I had intervened, there would have been a problem if I intervened.
Well, like that like, bird has to eat.
Exactly. It was like, just that sparrowhawk made
there's enough obvious. Crows.
Yeah.
Like it's important. Like an ecosystem is really important, and predators are so important.
So if the crow, it's called a jackdaw. If the crow wasn't eaten, the sparrow doesn't eat, and he could have died.
And there's too many jackdaws.
Too many jackdaws. But yeah.
You got abuse?
I got abuse.
You got abuse for...
And you know what the names were? What? Mary was one of them.
Ah, yeah. Does Mary give a shite about jackdaws usually, do you think?
She just said it was terrible. Like, there was no graphic in anything. Like, it's not like he was plucking his feathers. He was literally holding them down by the neck. That was it.
Yeah, some people are very sensitive though, aren't they?
Now, imagine the excess of where, remember I had a lizard and I fed it the mouse from the house.
Right, that's sinister, David. I think that's sinister. I think that people that have like snakes and lizards and they actively buy a live animal and put it into a tank, I think that's sinister because that's not nature. That prey has no chance. Like you're putting it actively into an environment where it's going to be killed.
So how does the snake that you've just said, how does that live? How does that survive?
Well, first of all, people shouldn't have predators like that as a pet. Second of all, they should be buying their food already dead. Like, I just think it's sinister. Like, imagine, like, the
torture. So how does the mouse die?
It gets killed in a lab or like it's grown and killed. It's like, it's done ethically. Like, I just don't believe that putting a small little animal in with a massive predator like that is ethical. That's not ethical.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying to you that the graphic that came from that is completely different to what happened outside.
There's something wrong with you if you're doing that.
Yeah, I know. I did feel really bad. And then, yeah, of course, my mom absolutely hawking me.
I say so. For context, David did it when he was a teenager. I had
a lizard and a water dragon. What kind of lizard? It was a water dragon.
And would they eat?
Yeah, of course. Nice. Oh. It was a water dragon. And we had a mouse in the house. And we used one of those traps that it was like a sticky thing where they catch their feet on it and then you put them away. And I remember my mom saying, now let him free. And days, weeks went past. And I was like, yeah, he's gone.
He was in the tank.
But I put him in the tank and he was eaten within seconds. But I took photographs on my ma's camera.
And videos on the camcorder. Yeah,
and
yes, I remember the story.
I didn't delete it. And then weeks, months went past and she was... you know what actually makes it worse? You know what makes it worse? I re-recorded over family videos, you get me? So my mom was looking at something and was like, it cut off. Do you remember the old camcorders?
It cut off and then it was like probably like, you know, a lovely family day out and then it was like, ah!
Then
like
it was the mouse being, yeah.
Oh my God, you're sick.
That was the old camcorders setup.
The things we did as teenagers. Well, we watched a show during the week and I was bawling. So the name of the show is called I Swear. And it's basically about this guy, Johnny Davison, that lives in Scotland. And he actually did a documentary years ago in the early 2000s. Was it? Yeah, it would have been then. And it ended up on YouTube. And me and my friend Elaine used to love watching those clips. We watched
the movie, is it?
The movie the other night, myself and David. And what was I like at the start? When he was sitting eating his dinner in front of the
yeah, it was
gym.
Really hard. Like because the earlier stage when he was a kid and he wasn't being understood or listened to,
sobbing. He was so alone. Like nobody knew what was wrong with him. They all thought he was doing it on purpose, and like his life was over. Like he was, oh God, love him. Like, but I think my upset came from that he was in trouble all the time for it.
Mm.
And nobody really understood. And I just couldn't imagine my kids going through something like that and them not getting support, you know what I mean? So it was just a completely different time as well. Like, but when his mom had him in front of the fire and he eventually made friends with this guy and his mom was a mental health nurse and she kind of took him under his wing and that's when he started to really like live his life. But
just on that point about the fire and when his pal's mom took him in.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first day he ate in the house when she made spaghetti bolognese?
Yeah.
And like, he was like how old was he at this point? Like in his 20s maybe?
Yeah.
And it's the first time he went down into the... And they were wondering where he was and why he wasn't sitting at the kitchen table. And he was in the sitting room of this random house, sitting in front of the fire, spitting into the fire. And I felt so terrible
so
for him.
So terrible. But it's a really good watch if you're looking for something to go watch. It's on Netflix. And also we watched Manosphere this week. It's really weird because Miles, I don't want to say it, Miles is sleeping during the night the last week.
Ah, it's real now.
It's ruined. He's not going to sleep through ever again. But for the last week, and we've actually watched things on the TV, which is insane. But we watched Manosphere, and to say the rage, I had to turn it off.
We didn't actually finish.
No, I couldn't. It's such absolute bullshit. Sorry for the language, but I just couldn't watch it. Like, I literally couldn't. What a bunch of idiots is the only word I can use to explain them, the polite word. But I just couldn't believe my ears. I couldn't believe my eyes. And all I could think the whole way through was, how the hell do I stop this happening to my son?
Yeah.
And for those of you who haven't watched it, it's basically Louis Theron, is that his name?
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Louis Theroux, that's the one. I know him from years ago. He did the documentary with Michael Jackson. He does loads of stuff. Oh, he's done it.
And he's really good.
Yeah, he's really good at what he does. But anyway, he did a documentary on these guys that express super masculinity, and they've got like podcasts, and they basically, I suppose, feed into a lot of people's insecurities online. So they make podcasts, they make content about how people can get rich quick, mainly men, actually predominantly males, and they make this, all this content on how they can get rich and how they can live this lifestyle and how it's basically women's fault.
By exploiting women, that's how...
One of them exploits women, but like a lot of them just absolutely hate women and they kind of make it out. It's very Andrew Tate coded. Anyway, he did an interview with these guys and they all just came out of it looking really bad, particularly this young man that lives in the UK, HS Tiki Toki. Is that his name? HS Tiki Tok.
I thought he lived in Marbella, no?
Yeah, he's from the UK and he lives in Marbella. And I just thought he probably came back off the worst. And another guy that lived in the States that has a podcast, and basically like he'd get women on the podcast and like have these debates with them and arguments and make a holy show of them because they didn't have the capacity to actually make good arguments with him and go back on what he was saying. Like the women that he'd have in the podcast were quite
timid. Yes.
And they weren't intellectual.
Outspoken. And
no, I wouldn't say they're outspoken.
Wouldn't have much confidence. And
confidence is quite low.
Them on to exploit them.
But he just kind of put mad ideas to them and then like they would look really foolish trying to argue with them. One of the things that he said, which blew my mind, and it was at the point I think where I nearly had to turn it off, was when he played a clip from TikTok, and it was basically this man who claimed to be a doctor and was saying that if a woman has had intercourse with like 20 men, that all of those men's DNA would be living in her body. And when she goes on to have kids, some of their DNA would be in the kids. And that's why sometimes your child can look like your wife's ex.
And they fully believed it. And Louis Theroux was like, that's not possible.
Like when I say, my head was spinning. It was this narrative that a woman should be pure. They should never have had sex with anybody else in their life. But they were like super masculine and talking about how many women that they can have sex with, even though they were in relationships with women themselves, but the woman couldn't go off and sleep with anybody else. It was only them.
This is the whole control thing. And this is where the whole Andrew Tate thing comes from, and the misogynist of the whole universe, and the matrix is what they call it, where there's this
red pill, blue pill.
Yeah. And the pyramid scheme where there's someone up the very, very top and we're all just behind it.
That's what they're all promoting. It's all pyramid schemes and they're scamming these young men and they're getting into their heads and they're making it out that like the problem with society is women. Like it's absolutely shocking. But oh God, I have so much to say on this and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole.
The Andrew Tate thing is where him and his brother, their whole setup is that women, they're like, oh, if you ask them, they're like, we love women. We have all the respect, but a woman should never work. A woman should never leave the house. And a woman should just do exactly as...
They just all have micro penises. Like, that's the problem. That is the problem.
Possibly.
And it basically promotes a narrow, unhealthy version of masculinity. But that's what it does. Because you can be masculine and you can have a really healthy relationship with women.
Yes, but there's this whole new narrative going around where they're saying that masculinity is completely, like, it's dropping because, and then it's sending out this whole, like, message that men are, we need to be louder and stronger and, like, make sure that we are the one that's in charge.
But why?
No, I'm saying this is what they're doing.
I know.
And it's like the younger generation that's coming up are like, look, they're the ones that are joining it. And then I've said it from before, even before Miles was born, is that, and then when we found out we were having a boy, like, in a way, I feel like I have more control over Sydney than I do over Miles. And I'm, what I mean by that is that he's going to grow up and he's going to get to a stage of his age where he's going to be like, I'm a man now, I can do what I want. Whereas with Sydney, you know, you can kind of hold her under your wings and mind her, whereas it's a different mindset. I worry about him going out into the world than I do Sydney.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I think women have a lot more to worry about in this world than men.
No, of course they do. But I worry about him more.
Being influenced.
Yes.
So I think it's, look, you could talk about it till the cows come home and I have so much to say, but I definitely think it's blame focused rather than solution focused. Like, look, there's a massive shift in society. You don't need anybody to tell you that. You can see it with your own two eyes. Like, you know, you go back 50 years ago, a woman's role in the home was to stay at home, have babies, Susie homemaker, cook, clean, all of those things. And up until like pretty recently, that's what we had to do.
Hmm. 50 now, years, maybe?
Oh, less. Like, I mean, you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. That's what she wanted. But like, it was kind of the norm.
Hmm.
But now women have the option. They have a say. They don't have to get married. They don't need to rely on a man to have money, a home, a car, whatever they want. Whereas back then they did. So a woman's path in life was to find a husband and then she was grand. Whereas now we don't have that. Like I have so many single friends that I'm so proud of, like that have just bought a house on their own. Women do not need men. That's the thing. So society has definitely shifted. Our goal in life is not to get married anymore. It's absolutely not. It's to, you know, come out of school, get an education or get into a trade and live your life, spend time with your friends, go traveling. Maybe you don't want to have kids. Maybe you do. It's up to us. Like I see women now, even on social media, having babies on their own. Like they don't even need a man to do that. Like obviously they need the sperm, but they don't need to be in a relationship to do that. So women are fiercely independent in 2026 in, you know, most developed countries.
As a result of that, this whole mindset of that masculinity is reducing when it's actually,
I just
stick to your own lane and it's not.
No, but the problem, I think what you're trying to say is that men like Andrew Tate and these guys that were on the Manosphere see a problem with that because a lot, you know, statistics show that men are more lonely than ever or they're not in relationships or they're not having kids. And it's a huge problem in society. And there is this narrative out there that's like, you know, Diary of a CEO, I absolutely love him. And I listen to his podcast all the time, but recently he made a really stupid remark and said, like, should society intervene? And I hope to God what he meant by that is, should we bring in incentives for, you know, women to stay at home, like as an option, not feckin' pin them down and make sure that they have babies. Do you know, that's what I hope he meant by that. But it's definitely a shift. And I think rather than having this toxic group of people spewing what women should do, we should be
allowed, just be free,
leaning into what's actually happening and accepting that women are just not put on this planet just to have kids. We are put on this planet to do other things, like as well as that, and we're okay with that.
I think everyone just needs to chill out and just do a bit of bird watching.
But like, I mean, when you look at, say, a lot of modern homes, I know it, just in my circle alone, there's two families, right? Like friends of mine, that the woman goes to work and the man stays at home. And that's because the cost of childcare, and it's because they can't afford both of them. There's no point in both of them going to work. So they sat down and they said, okay, who earns more money or who has the potential to earn more money? And in both of those cases, it was my girlfriend's. Yeah, it was. Because one of them is, he works as a tradie. She's a nurse and she's in a really amazing job. And for her to stay at home and to give that up would be absolutely foolish because, you know, he can't earn as much as she.
It's also putting a lot more strain on the family where if both, like you said, you sit down, you work out what is actually better in the long term run. Mentally is what the way I'm pointing this, that why would they both be completely like mentally exhausted? They don't have any time with the kids, but yet they're actually not taking in much more than what they could be.
Yeah. Financially. But by the time you pay childcare, one whole salary is going on childcare, exactly. Like it's a mortgage. So,
but then both of them are gone and they're both exhausted.
But sorry, what the point that I was getting at there was a lot of people, particularly like older people, like or that older generation, like boomers and stuff, would look at that dynamic and be like, oh, that's strange. Like she's out working and he's at home. And I know we get a couple of comments about that because obviously I'd be like the one that's, you know, out working a lot because it makes sense. And you obviously have your business and you're able to kind of stay home with the kids a little bit more. But I feel like people think that that's a bad thing, or like they'd shame us for it. Like when in reality, it's really what they're saying and their views are quite
toxic.
Toxic and I think outdated, completely outdated.
Yeah, but if you put them, if you go and sit in their shoes,
it makes more sense.
It'll make more sense.
It makes more sense. 10 times over, like 10 times over.
Oh my God.
Anyway, sorry, that's a bit heavy, but watch The Manosphere and come back to me and give me your views. I just could not cope and I have so much to say in it, but I just don't want to.
Can I
be miserable because those men make me miserable. Sorry, can I just say one more thing on it? That guy in America with the podcast that was like shouting on his podcast and was like, I'm going to tell a woman how many times she's going to take my D-I-C-K, right? He's saying all this and he's like, my girl is going to clean up after me and that's her job and I'm this big Billy Balls, right? Anyway, his girlfriend comes on the documentary accidentally.
Oh, I know.
And Louis is standing there and he starts asking them questions and your man shits himself and turns into a little poodle. No, he's actually standing there with a poodle, but he turns into a little wimp in front of her and he's like, because he was like, you told me in there you want to sleep with lots of women and that she's not allowed to sleep with many, like any other man. And he's like, well, you know, further down the line, like maybe that's something that I want, but not right now.
And then he asked her.
He backtracked. He completely backtracked. And then
he sent her into the room to go clean up the room.
No.
Can you imagine me saying that to you?
He was acting all hard and then he turned around and was like, oh, go in there and clean that room. Like he tried to be all hard and you could see her just being like, what?
Can you imagine if I even just said to you, general, normal day, Derry, go in there and clean that room. What would you respond to that?
I'd be like, are you all right? Are you okay? Don't be telling me what to do. But that's the kind of woman I want to raise Sydney to be.
Oh, Terry, you've already raised that child.
But
don't
you
worry.
I feel like the era that I grew up in was the 90s and all I knew was girl power. And like, that's how I grew up. I grew up with the Spice Girls. It was all about girl power. And that's what my generation grew up to be.
Mm.
Independent. Exactly. The fruit of the 90s. That's what we are. And it blows my mind that people are out there that have a problem with women being independent. And also as well, David, like it's so sad when you think about it that women have gone through so much over thousands, hundreds, and still do in developing countries. Like, you know, even some developed countries, like we go through so much and we gain a little bit of our
independence.
And these motherfuckers.
But let's bring back Spice Girls. Bring back Spice Girls, Terry.
Yes.
Power to the world. And speaking of really quickly.
Power to the world.
Isn't that what it's called?
No, girl power.
Pussycat Dolls are coming back. Yeah. Please tell me you've seen that video that's gone viral.
What one?
So you know they're coming back, right?
Yeah.
How many people were in the Pussycat Dolls setup?
Five.
Many girls? Five girls.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I wouldn't be able to name any of them other than one, which is Nicole, yeah. Right? She's back and two other girls, two of the five, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing a tour, whatever. But they were being interviewed on American TV, like a breakfast show,
yeah.
Right? And apparently the reunion, out of the five, only three of them were told and they just went and started it. Didn't tell the other two of the five. You follow me?
Yeah.
And of course, when they went and sat down to do TV about like the prep or the promo for the tour, yeah. The presenter is of course going to ask where the other two, and that's what they did. And Nicole froze and had no answer. She was like it must have been done. And then the other one intervened and answered for her. It was the most awkward thing ever. And if you read all the comments, it's like, surely you were prepared for that question. There was five
Maybe
of you.
They told them not to ask them though. They probably told the TV presenters not to ask them, and then they just
said
it anyway.
But you still should have had an answer, like some sort of preparation, should you be asked, even like out in public.
Apparently, one Nicole and one of the dancers really didn't get on. Have you ever seen the videos on TikTok where she just starts singing, out singing Nicole? Nicole's like, oh, not this again.
Yeah, because the two of them are like,
I really like Nicole.
Two really good singers.
Yeah, I really like her. I met her at an event, remember?
Oh, you did, yeah.
At a Mac event, and I was like, I'm gonna go ask her for a picture. And I went over to her and I was like, can I get a picture? She was so nice.
How was she?
She was so nice. So nice. She was like, yeah, of course. Like, she was like, I like your outfit. And
I seen her posting a video of her walking down through some street in New York yesterday. And like, does people not know? Like, she's really famous. She's just walking along.
Yeah.
Normal. There's people just walking past her. And she was not like she was wearing clothes that didn't. Like stand that she out. Blended in. She was like really standing out.
Probably sometimes when you don't have an entourage, you blend in a little bit easier. True. Like, remember Harry Styles went for a swim in Dublin and then went to a coffee shop after.
Yeah. And the staff were like, that's Harry Styles.
that's the crack. We have a mantra event tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. This week is very, very busy. I've got an event now in about 2 hours. It's Tuesday. I need to go get ready for that. I also have our mantra event tomorrow, which we're going to be in the Mason prepping for pretty early. And then on Thursday, I'm doing an event with NARS Cosmetics in Brown Thomas.
Is this your first mantra event?
First community piece, which we're very excited about. And yeah, I have an event with NARS. And then on Friday, I have another event. And then Saturday, myself and Siobhan are going to Kildare Village because we got a spot in Kildare Village for mantra.
So,
and
when were you going
to
tell me?
Sunday, we're going to Lugwoods and I'm taking Monday off next week.
When were you
going
to tell me?
What?
So we touched on this before off the podcast. And then I seen it the other day that Siobhan posted that she had been there.
Mm.
And I sent her a message to congratulate her because she said, like, you know, things are moving. But it was never confirmed. So you now have a spot in Kildare Village.
Yeah. Very exciting. I'm going to be down there on Saturday.
I'm clapping.
Ah, thank you. It's very exciting.
When is due to go in?
So many lovely things. We're there now. I'm going down on Saturday to just create some footfall and some content and that.
You have a shop?
No, it's not a shop. So it's like an area. We are in Kildare Village. Very exciting. Very exciting.
And your big head is in Blanchestown as well.
Yeah.
I need to go see that.
David, just be like, when are you going to tell me this? When are you going to do this?
Because like, they'd be so proud. I really want to go and see it and take pictures of it.
Yeah, we have
You shy these things off like it's nothing. Like the other day you were like, I'm nearly at 400,000. And I'm like, 400,000 people.
Oh, but how long am I doing this, David? Like, that's been a slow burner.
Yeah, but
a very slow burner.
I think once you hit 300, it was almost overnight, you were at 350.
Yeah. Well, I went viral a couple of times, but yeah, come here. It's not about the followers. It's about the people that are following you and engaging with you. And I feel like I have such a nice community on Instagram and TikTok. And I've never, ever chased followers, like, you know that.
Mm. How do you chase followers?
Like, as in like doing things that you think will go viral and like just being really needy. And, you know, like, look, I've seen a lot of creators do that over the years. And what happens is when you go viral, you gain a lot of followers in like different countries like Spain or Argentina is a huge one as well. And that's just not where I wanted to grow my following. Do you know, I wasn't about the numbers. I wanted to grow an authentic Irish following, Irish and UK. And that's what I've done.
Engagement is like,
it's real. Like real. It's real. Like people are real. Like, you know, you can go viral and get all of these followers from like different countries and they might be real, but they're no use for brands that want to hit an Irish audience. Mm. So for example, like say, like whenever I'm working with a brand, they'll ask for my insights and I'll send them over and the brand's agenda might want to be launching a product into Ireland. Mm. And if I had a load of Argentina? Mm. Or like loads of followers from Argentina or Spain, then I wouldn't be a candidate for that campaign. An Irish audience. So I've never chased those viral moments or tried to go viral.
You'd rather stick to
what's working and then people let people follow. So
did you see the video of, so I've two things to say. See the video of the house that was raided in America that had the YouTube.
What happened to your fingers?
What?
What happened?
I want to see the other fella.
What happened to them?
I cut them yesterday. Opened a tin of paint.
Oh.
The house that was raided by the police and it had a YouTube botting station. So imagine a square room and from top to bottom, there was mobile phones pinned to the wall as tight as you can possibly think. Phones all linked together.
Dilma.
They were flicking through videos and creating YouTube views. Like an AI, like it basically like...
Who did that though?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a thing?
That's the thing.
Is that what you have up in the bedroom?
Yeah, that room that you can't get into. It's just, it's wall to wall of phones.
Excuse you. I have sorted that room out.
And what about the new Instagram updates that are coming?
What?
Instagram? I sent it to you last night.
What? Tell us about
that. So the new, like the fella that's like one of the head CEOs of Instagram comes out. You need to follow him. Siobhan follows him. He gives out all the updates of how you can like keep your engagement high and what does and doesn't work. Stop looking at my fingers. But basically they're telling us now that to stop panicking about trying to create content, go back 6 months to what you posted 6 months ago and repost that.
Why?
Because there's a strong chance that 50% of your followers didn't actually see it. If that makes sense.
I feel like there's been updates on Instagram over the last couple of years that have just absolutely, they're soul destroying. Like as soon as you put hashtag ad on something, the content...
It goes into the file and
bombs. Absolutely bombs. And that's because Instagram want brands to pay Instagram to boost that content.
Mm. I'm surprised that hasn't happened already. I remember when Instagram was really kicking off and brands are getting involved, where I was like, they're going to start charging you a yearly fee to have an Instagram. I'm surprised that hasn't happened.
Well, I have a prediction. Do you want to hear my prediction? I predict in the next 5 years, influencers are going to need a license. Right, to advertise because there's so many,
like in Dubai.
But basically a lot of people don't adhere to the rules. It is infuriating. So they don't use hashtag ad. They put like A on one side of the screen and D on the other side, and then like it's infuriating. And I think if a brand wants to work with a creator, they need to have an advertising license in Ireland.
Yeah, so they'll say, what's their license number? And they look them up and make sure,
legit.
It makes sense. And it should have been done.
Do you know what? I actually wouldn't mind it because like I put hashtag ad on absolutely everything. And I actually, so the other day I put up an ad and I put hashtag ad and some girl was like, oh, look at you hiding your hashtag ad. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's there. Like, and I sent back a screenshot and she was after getting really thick with me, like in my DMs.
She saw it.
She said she had to make it out and I sent back a screenshot and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's there perfectly clear. Like, because I am so by the book when it comes to guidelines.
Follow the rules.
And because why wouldn't you be as well? Like, I'm really proud of the brands that I work with. I'd never try and hide that I'm working with a brand. Like, work attracts work. Believe me, it does. Anyway, I sent it back to her and she was like, okay, sorry. It's just on my side, your name in the top left-hand corner is covering hashtag ad. It must be my layout. And she was using an Android. So I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that. Thank you.
Ah.
So I appreciated that she told me and I took it down and re-uploaded it with paid partnership, which I normally do. But for some reason on Instagram, the paid partnership tool isn't always available. It's so annoying. Anyway, I re-uploaded it and fixed it and I thanked her. But I was just kind of thinking to myself, I was like, you know, I wish she hadn't just said, oh, just so you know, that's
instead of coming across,
instead of just automatically assuming that I'm trying to hide something. I'm absolutely not. And I absolutely wouldn't. It's just no way. I just wouldn't.
Quickly finish off on jumping through loopholes, right? And how, as I said at the start, a bird flew in, had an attack at the front door. So that happened. The washing machine in the same day stopped working. My coffee machines also stopped working in the same day. And then the water yesterday.
Yeah, I can't believe you tried to blame that on me.
I didn't blame it on you.
You shouted at me.
So very quickly, we have one of those filter taps and the water comes out like really slow, right?
That's so annoying.
And I put my water bottle underneath it and let it flow, walked out to close the back door, realised that there's... jacket on the clothesline had fallen down, went and picked it up. Then of course my ADHD, I got completely distracted and went and started doing a couple of other things. And then as I walked back into the house, like whistling array, I was like, oh, the countertop is flooding.
What was your first reaction? So,
yeah, because I called you and you were like, what is it? I was like, it's fine. You're like, but what is it? I was like, it's fine. It's not your fault. It's my fault.
Because you shout like it was my fault.
Right. So I put these things into ChatGPT. And you know what ChatGPT spat back at me? You want to hear what it spat back at me?
Did it say, cop onto yourself?
It did actually, yeah. It sounds like David is living inside a low-budget disaster movie where the appliances are slowly...
A low budget.
Yes. Washing machine rebelling, coffee machine on strike, arguably the most serious offence, surprise bird attack, and now the tap trying to redecorate the kitchen. If I was David, I'd stop touching anything electrical for a few hours. Approach all doors cautiously. Like, seriously. And maybe, just maybe, buy a lotto ticket. AI is actually getting really scary. AI told me that. AI told me that AI is getting really scary.
No, you wrote AI is getting really scary because underneath that, you went on to talk about Sydney's head being backwards. You wrote AI is getting really scary.
Sorry.
You lunatic.
I need another coffee.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the last thing I'm going to say about AI.
This man.
The last thing I'm going to say is, the other day, right? And I want people to try do this and see if it works for them.
Why right? were you doing it?
Listen, because there was a photograph I wanted to post of the tree, me, you and Sydney, and her face was in it, but it was a really nice photo and I wanted to blur her face out.
Just put a heart over it.
Right? And I asked AI to blur the face out of the child and it spat a photo back to me with the child's body turned backwards, and which was, of course, Sydney still, but it was an Asian child. Mm. So whose Asian child is being used as a photo prop?
I know, it's shocking. Scary.
Stressed. I'm sweating.
Stressed.
Now.
Why are you sweating? Because AI is scary.
AI is scary.
But you wrote that.
I did, I'm sorry.
Will we do a listener email really quick? Hi guys, I've recently become a mum for the second time, so now I've got 2 under 3. Send help. I absolutely adore them, but I'm finding things are a bit tricky with my partner when it comes to solo parenting. Anytime I leave the house, even just for an hour, I constantly get calls and messages asking where things are, what the routine is, what to do next. It's not that he's incapable, because he's actually quite really competent, but he seems so stressed when he's on his own. It's starting to make me feel guilty for taking time to myself. And if I'm being honest, it's a bit frustrating too. I don't want to feel like I can't step away without everything falling apart. Has anyone ever dealt with this? How do you build your partner's confidence without it turning into another mental load for you? I have advice.
Why did you look at me like that?
Like what?
Like you dropped that phone like a mic drop. And then
yeah, because I have
your
advice.
Your eyelids came up slowly and then your forehead went down.
My advice is... He needs more practice. Why is your armpit so sweaty, David? Oh my God.
I'm sitting on this couch. It's really warm. And the room is currently 19.5 degrees. It's fucking, I'm wearing sweatpants.
It's because you just drank the coffee.
How do I know it's 19.5? Because the stat says it, Terry.
Anyway, my advice is he needs more practice. Like if you step in now and start being like, okay, I won't go out with the girls, or I won't go to yoga, or I won't go get my nails done because he's going to be ringing me, then you're feeding into his incompetence, because he sounds incompetent if he's ringing you asking me what the routine is.
And after your second child,
like, figure it out. Stop ringing me. Like, figure it out. Keep them a pink and breeding and fed and watered, and don't be annoying me. And that's what you need to do. Like, don't let him weaponize his incompetence. Leave the house. Leave him to drown and he'll get better at it, because...
Throw him into the deep end. He's not going to drown.
He's not going to drown. And turn off your phone and tell him to stop ringing you.
Turn off your phone there. That's terrible.
Don't turn off your phone. But tell him to stop ringing you.
You were the worst when Sydney was, like, obviously our first child, she was born. Like, where we were first time parents, we were making mistakes. I was making mistakes. You were flagging them. You were making mistakes. I was assisting you. That's the difference. I'd be like... And you were...
Why are you bringing that up?
Because we're talking about it. That's what
we're talking about. David kept making the bottles wrong. And like, it took months. I think we spoke about this before. It took months for him to get it right. And it was the most infuriating thing.
I also had two slip discs. I was sleep deprived.
Because I kicked the shit out of you for being so...
I was sleep deprived. Right? I was in a heap and I was trying to raise a child for the first time. And you, on the other hand... We're getting your cup of tea into bed. You were surviving.
Yeah, because I was supposed to C-section, you lunatic.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, practice makes perfect. So just keep going and leaving him there. And I wouldn't feel guilty for taking time for yourself. And he just needs to cop onto himself. That's my advice. Truly, it's probably controversial. I probably shouldn't say that. And should give you all these pointers. But like you can lay out the clothes, you can lay out the food, you can do everything, but it's all it's doing is enabling his incompetence.
I tell you what,
he has to learn to do it himself. Of course. And the kids are not going to die.
Like, it sounds to me like he's expecting and he's waiting on her to come and pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
So, like, I've learned that if I just pretend like you just don't exist, that's how I get through it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Because, like, you'll say to me, like, what? Why are you doing that? Because I know if I clean the bottles now and don't leave
the sink. We've different ways of doing things.
Yeah, we've different ways. But my way is better.
No, my way is better.
No, it's not.
My way is chaos.
Your way is chaos.
Chaos. You see, what Dave's trying to say is David would clean the playroom 4 times a day and he cleaned the kitchen 4 times a day. Whereas I have a theory, right? My theory is...
just do nothing.
Do nothing.
And keep the kids breathing.
And do it when they go to bed.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're a busy Phil. Right. On that note, that's the DHL driver. What did you say?
He opened the door and he was like, sorry for interrupting the podcast.
You could see us.
Of course we can see
and
us.
And you said, do you want to come in?
I said, do you want to jump in? He goes, no, I need more prep. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.